See, I saw that, but I wasn't sure if that was the best.
So we're not using any notes today, so don't worry about your notes. Just let up, you have a piece of paper. While we're waiting for everyone to show up, I am putting a matrix up right now, or a system of equations. The directions say solve using Gaussian elimination. That means you better be doing it with a matrix. You can't be doing it by sub-elimination. So this is just to see if you remember what we did yesterday, can you solve this using a matrix? So step number one is to pull it out of that system and put it into a matrix. Can everybody do that? So do that first step. This matrix that has the answers attached to it is called what kind of matrix? What's with A? Augmented matrix. Because the ones today we're going to deal with won't have answers to like that. So this is an augmented matrix. You know this has the answers. Okay, so now that we have it looking like this, do you remember what our goal is?
Yes.
We're going to put it into a certain format that's called row echelon. Row echelon means it has ones down the main diagonal, and it gives us two ones, and a zero underneath. The order that you do that is important. So what do we do first? What's the first thing you want to do? Get a one in the upper left. And then zero. And then one. Okay. So why is this one kind of nice?
Because
I already had the one upper left. So that's fantastic. That first goal is accomplished. So now we don't want to get a one here. We want to get a zero. So how do we get zeros underneath this? The question. It's a positive 3 at the moment, so we're going to need a negative 3. Because negative 3 plus positive 3 is 0, right? So we need to, so I'm going to go ahead and bring the matrix down. Remember, copy row 1 down. So 1, 2, 0. We're going to use the row above it by multiplying it by negative 3 and adding it to row 2. So it looks like this. Negative 3 times row 1 plus row 2. My notation's pretty good because I'm keeping it next door to where it's going to go, ultimately. But you kind of do the math of it over here. So let's see. 1 times negative 3 is negative 3. 2 times negative 3 is negative 6. 0 times negative 3 remains 0. And then the original one was 3, 7, 1. So when we add them up, we'll look at that. This one was almost too easy. Why am I saying, I didn't know when I first glanced at it, but why am I saying this one's quite easy? You got that. Not only did you get that bonus, you got the one right there also. You need to be able to do a couple more steps, but okay, so far so good. So now what do? We have it in row echelon form. Pull it back out. So x plus 2y equals 0, and y equals 1. So we now know that the y coordinate is 1. How do you figure out what the x coordinate is? You plug that one into this one, but the one is there. So x plus 2 times 1 equals 0. X equals negative 2. So I got negative 2, 1. How would I know that I didn't make some silly boneheaded mistake down here and accidentally get the wrong sign or whatever? Before I put that answer on the blank, I want to make sure it checks up here. So negative 2 plus 2 is 0, so it checks in the first one. 3 times negative 2 is negative 6. Negative 6 plus 7 is 1. So now I know that it works, and now I know that's the correct answer. And I'm sure when you were doing your homework, you probably made some sign mistakes and like, wait, this answer's not checking. What did I do wrong or whatever? And, you know, you just got to work through some problems. Okay. So next question I'm going to ask you is, you have this matrix. So I've already done some stuff for you, and I'm just asking, like, what would the next step be? So 1, 6, 3, 0, 4, negative 12. So the question is, what would the next step be? What's the next row operation that you would do, and how do you notate that, what you're doing? So what are we attempting to do?
The
4 needs to become a 1, okay? So you can only get a 1 by swapping rows, which isn't going to help in this one, or multiplying that row by somebody. Yes. So I told you yesterday, in my mind, I think about, I'm just dividing these rows by 4, but we don't like to say you can divide a row by somebody, so we say we multiply by 1/4. It's pretty important that when you show the next step, that you do that, what your, the instructions for that next step is right here, sitting next to the row that you're changing. So as I was working with Rachel a little bit, she didn't like this idea about multiplying by a fraction. So I said, really, we're just taking row 2 and dividing it by 4, right? And she's like, yeah, I got that part. And I said, if you put a 1 right here with a times in front of it, you're basically multiplying by 1/4. That's kind of what you're saying. This is the same right here as writing it like this. 1/4 times row 2. They're mathematically sort of the same idea. Dave, would you mark that wrong? Are you okay with either one of those? You prefer this one, I know.
It's not wrong.
Yeah, it's not wrong. So, like, dividing by 4 is the same as multiplying by 1/4. So, 1/4 row 2. Let's see, 0 divided by 4 is still 0, 4 divided by 4 is 1, and negative 12 divided by 4 is negative 3. And that's how you get 1s, like, in that position right there. That didn't happen in the prior matrix because we got that 1 by itself, but you have to get that idea down. Notice that every matrix I've been assigning you has been, like, that wasn't the number 15 where you get a fraction out of it. That's totally possible, that you get answers that are fractions, because we got that in the other ones. But in the matrix stuff, we're kind of shielding you from that a little bit right now, because you need to practice at least 10 of them where you can get the integer answers without getting a flat answer, like 15/4. And then I got to put 15/4 back in to figure out what goes with it. But certainly you can get fractional answers in any part of this if you were to stay in math and go a little bit higher and just solve a more complicated matrix. Okay. So, what we're going to work on today is like 2 distinct skills. So, I'm going to hand this out right here. We're going to work on this sheet right here. First, we're going to work on this word problem again. Okay. Only now we have 3 variables instead of just 2. So remember, we did supplementary angles, we did the cottage cheese and the hot dogs, we did a whole page of word problems, where every word problem translated to a system with 2 variables and 2 equations. Now we're going to translate to a system with 3 variables and 3 equations, but we're not going to solve any of them. We're just going to get the system, because that's the skill that you're attempting to do. So let's take a look at the first example. So go ahead and read it. pretty typical. The only new thing I've added is a third food group. Do you agree? Like a third food group. So when you set up your variable definitions over here, I'm just going to use X, Y, and Z because I don't want to use S or you could use D, J, and B if you want to. You can use whatever variables you want as long as you call it that. But I'm going to let X equal donut, sugar. Oh, I was going to do this about sugar, but I changed it to calories, so actually it's 3 calories. How many calories are in? I rewrote the problem because I didn't know how much sugar was actually in a donut, so I changed it to calories because I have an idea about calories for a donut. So as I was writing the problem yesterday, I changed it up. So it's how many calories are in a donut. So calories in a donut, Y is going to be calories in OJ, and Z is going to be calories in banana. Okay, so that's like your legend. Okay, each person is one equation. So write what you think John's equation would be. Oh. I don't like something I already did. Do you see what I did? What did I do kind of goofy?
You understood the sugar.
It would start out with the Y. Because everybody went orange juice, donut, banana. Orange juice, well, then this one went out of order. This one, orange juice, donut. No bananas. I want orange juice to be my X. Yeah. I want orange juice to be my X. It doesn't really matter, but I think it will make sense. Is that what you did? Orange juice is your X. And then donuts is your Y. And bananas is your Z. It shouldn't matter in the long run, but it's going to help get the first equation. So one cup of orange juice is X plus 2 donuts, so plus 2Y, plus 1 banana, so plus Z, equals 1050. Does everyone see that's John's sentence? So one orange juice, 2 donuts, 1 banana. The ones are ghosts, so I don't write them in, but they're there. Okay, now let's go ahead and do Justin. Justin has 2 cups of orange juice, so what do we write?
2X.
2 bananas. But bananas are Z's, right? I went out of order, so be careful. So 2 bananas would be 2Z down here. But he also has 2 donuts, so it ends up being 2X plus 2Y plus 2Z. I intentionally sort of went out of order to see if you would sort of catch that. But they're all the number 2. So 1225. And what about Brian? 2X. 3Y. He doesn't have any Z's, right? So you would just leave a blank spot right there in the system. Just leave a blank spot and put the equal sign. You don't need to put plus 0Z. It inherently means it's plus 0Z. So equals 875. So while we're not going to solve this matrix, you could be asked to state the matrix. So we will put the matrix next to it. So what augmented matrix represents this system? 1, 2, 1, 1050. 2, 2, 2, 1225. 2, 3, 0, 875. And that's it for that problem. You're done. Any questions on that? First one? It's a little tricky with the order of stuff, so you have to read quite carefully. All right, let's move on to number 2. A theater has 490 seats. Okay. There's a price for floor, a price for mezzanine, and a price for balcony. Okay. The number of seats on the floor equals the total number of seats in the mezzanine and the balcony. Okay, that looks like an equation. I haven't sorted out yet, but that's one of the equations. Suppose the theater takes in 520 for each sold-out event. How many seats does each section hold? So start by reading that. How many seats does each section hold? It helps you set up your variables. because it makes you reread the problem just looking at the seats and what they call the seats. So maybe this time I'm going to use the letters. X for floor, M for mezzanine, B for balcony. So F is going to equal floor, M is going to equal mezzanine. So you're always welcome to choose variable definitions that make sense for you. And F, M, and B capitalized to me don't look like numbers at all, so they're very distinctly. Okay, so our first equation, there's going to be three equations. The first one just deals with C. Okay, so the first one doesn't have anything to do with money or anything, just how many seats there are. How many total seats are there?
490.
So F plus M plus B equals 490. So that one just deals with like the total number of seats there are. Everybody okay with that part so far? So we'll do one with money in a couple minutes, but right now that equation just deals with seats. So if there was like 100, 100, there'd have to be 290 of these. This is just how many seats there are total. Okay, let's read that second sentence. The number of seats on the floor, so what letter is that? F. Equals is... I know I didn't line it up, but I tend to line up the equal to signs as opposed to lining up the letters because this one looks a little different when I translate it. The total number of seats in the mezzanine and the balcony together. Yeah, equals M plus B. So the number of seats on the floor, F, equals or is the total of the other two added together. It doesn't say sum the other two. It just says in the mezzanine and the balcony, but you should know to add them together with a plus sign. Is everybody okay with that translation? It's okay. Like I said, I line up the equal to signs because that's what a book normally does. So they don't have to line up underneath each other for this part. Okay. So that one changes for every story. Like how the relationship between those seats is going to change as you read different ones. But now we get to the one that deals with money. So the third equation is the one that's going to deal with money. So how much money do they bring in for the floor seats? The floor seats cost $25, right? So a floor seat costs $25. So 25 times how many floor seats they sell. So that's going to be a multiplication thing right there. It's just read 25 times F. So one floor seat would be $25. Two would be $50. Three would be $75. Four would be $100. How much money they're bringing in from floor seats. You're going to add to that, what are we going to add in for mezzanine? 20M. Because it's $20 for every mezzanine seat that you sell. And then how much are you bringing in for the balcony? Yeah, 15 times the balcony. So money plus money equals the total amount of money that's going to be in there somewhere. And that's the last number in the story. So equals 10,520. And you did it. That's the system. I would not ask you to put that in a matrix. That's because this one looks a little weird. So that's just it. Can you translate from that to that? The order that these three equations appear is not important. But naturally, it kind of would look like that because that's how I read the story. The first one dealt with seats. The middle one was the middle sentence. And the last one deals with money. But if you have these two swapped, it really doesn't matter. It's the same system. Do you like it or you don't like it? Danielle had it last I saw. The sign-in sheet, was it back with you? I don't know where it is. Any questions before we leave this one? You will have one tomorrow, like that's due the graded portion that he grades as 450 points is very similar to that. So keep that one sort of handy. How could, what changes? Like as I read these, and if I was to do five of these, what would change? Well, that number's going to change. Every skating holds a different amount of seats or whatever. The prices change for a different problem, right? But that second equation is the one that changes quite a bit, because whatever the relationship might be could be very different as you're reading them. And they don't always have to include all three variables either. It could just say, like, the floor equals the mezzanine or whatever. You just have F equals M. It's whatever that second sentence translates to be that you have to get correct. Okay. So let's take a look at number three and see how number three is very, very similar to number two, just a different scenario. So go ahead and read that one. Do you at least see we're talking about three different things? Like, that's the similarity. It's just, at the very least, just like, instead of three different stadium level seats, it's three different mutual funds or whatever. So there's three mutual funds that pay different amounts, 5%, 7%, and 8%. I didn't ask how much is invested in each, but that's the question. How much is invested in each? So we're going to let X equal the amount at 5%. Y equals the amount invested at 7%. And Z equals the amount at 8%. I would just generically use X, Y, and Z because there was nothing natural to me like F, M, and B. The one above it has some natural letters that I might use for it. Okay, so equation number one is just going to deal with how much money is in each, like did you invest in each one, just like the seat one. There's nothing attached to it. It's just X plus Y plus Z equals $5,000. So maybe they have $1,000 in this one and $2,000 in this one and $2,000 in this one. It's just how much money is in each account. That's ultimately what we're trying to solve for. So the number one is in front of each one. Is that okay? Is that kind of like what we did up top, right? The number one was in front of each one of these. So that's just the total number. Okay, let's look for sentence number two. The amount of money in the 8% fund, so what letter is that?
Z.
Equals is the total amount invested in the other two funds. X plus Y. Good. You got it. And that would change for everyone. Okay. Now the final equation must bring some money into it and like the interest rates into it and everything. So when you invest money at 5%, you're earning 5% interest on that, whatever money is in there. So we're going to write that like this. So you convert 5% to a decimal, so it's 0.05. So you earn 5 cents for every dollar invested in that account. So instead of having like the seat cost, we have the interest that you're earning. And then what's going to happen for Y? Yeah, plus 0.07. And that will give you the amount of interest you earn in the Y account, or the one paying 7%. And then what? Yeah, plus 0.08 Z. And interest plus interest plus interest equals the total amount of interest that's given in the story. So for us, that's 555. And you did it. You translated a word problem into a system of three equations with three unknowns. You've got your variable definitions over there, and that's it. You're done. So those are the three examples that I would like to focus on because they're just pretty good, decent entry-level problems to see if you can translate. Once again, you will not be asked to solve these. the directions would say, translate, do not solve. And your answers would look something just like this. You'd have variable definitions on the left, and then you'd have your three equations on the right or on the left. Questions about that? Perfect. Okay, so turn over. So here's a little bit of matrix arithmetic that we're going to talk about. Okay, so this is the last topic about matrix, and then we're done, like, today, and then we're done with matrices. So, I want to start by talking about these three matrices that you see up here. I've defined them as A, B, and C. So, if there's going to be more than one matrix in a problem, like these problems, we give them letters. And so, this guy is matrix A, this one is matrix B, and that's matrix C. What are the dimensions of A?
2 by 3.
It's row by column, right?
What are the dimensions of B?
2 by 2.
It's also a 2 by 3. What about C?
3 by 1.
It's got 3 rows, 1 column, so that's a 3 by 1. Good, that could be questions that you could be asked. What are the what are the dimensions of the matrix? These are not augmented matrices because they don't have the line with answers. This is just a bunch of numbers in a matrix. Okay, so you need to know when it says this, find -3C, what that means. And that means you're going to go to matrix C, and you're going to multiply each one of the elements by -3. Because it means -3 times C.
So since C is a 3 by 1, your answer is also going to be a 3 by 1.
So as you're setting up your answer, like, make it tall and skinny. Because it's going to have 3 rows, but just 1 column. So I think we can all multiply things by -3. Like 4 times -3 times 4 is -12.
So the first entry up here is -12.
And then we're going to take -3 and multiply it by -12. So 12, 24, 36.
So that one's going to be 36. And then -3 times 5 is -15. And you get it.
That's the answer. You're allowed to take a matrix and multiply it by whatever number out in front that you want, as long as you multiply every element within the matrix by that number.
That was it. You got the original.
Oh, keep that. Okay.
Let's take a look at a little bit more interesting example.
So this ultimately is like the level you'd be talking about, this problem right here. Hey, there's the matrix. What's 2A plus 3B? So the first thing that we want to do is figure out what 2A is. So I'm going to take a minute and just do what is 2A.
So that means multiply every element in matrix A by the number 2. So this matrix is the A matrix right here. So 2A is equal to, that's just going to have 6 entries ultimately.
So we want to take each element of A. How many elements do you see in A?
6
total. And multiply them each by 2.
So 2 times 3 is 6. 2 times 2 is 4. 5 times 2 is 10. -3 times 2 is -6. 0 times 2 is still 0, and 7 times 2 is 14.
Is everybody okay and got that 2x? Now I want to figure out what 3b is.
So 2a is equal to that. 3b is equal to, make sure you go to the correct matrix, so I'm going to matrix B, and I multiply all 6 of those numbers by the number 3. So 1 times 3 is 3, negative 4 times 3 is negative 12, 3 times 3 is 9, 2 times 3 is 6, 6 times 3 is 18, and 3 times 3 is 9.
Everybody okay with that part so far? Ultimately, it says now that they want us to add them together. So you're allowed to add matrices together as long as they're the same size. So are these two matrices the same size?
Yes.
And so you add corresponding elements together. Does everybody know what I mean when I say corresponding? Like corresponding means if he's in the upper left position, he's in the upper left position. You would add them together. He's in lower left, he's in lower left. So you'd add those together. Corresponding elements mean like this guy gets added to this one, not any other one, because they're both in the center of the top. So there's six pairs of corresponding elements on here. And so because this is a plus sign right here, we're going to add them together. If it was a minus sign, we would subtract them. We just follow whatever basically says. So let's see. My final answer I'm going to get over here. 6 plus 3 is 9. 4 plus negative 12 is negative 8. 10 plus 9 is 19. Negative 6 plus 6 is 0. 0 plus 18 is 18. And 14 plus 9 is 23. This guy on the right is the answer. Those two help me get to the answer. It's almost a gimme. Like, we expect you should get these ones right. After what we did yesterday, this is like, oh, is this all I do? Is this all I do? I multiply and add things together? Like, I can do that all day long. Any questions on that so far? Okay. So this one says, add together the three matrices, A plus B plus C. What's the problem? Do you see a problem? C is not the same dimensions, correct? So you can't do it. And sometimes the answer is it can't be done. And so you would just say, it can't be done. Can we add A and B together? Yes. Could we add B and C together? No, because they're not the same size. And so the issue right there is C is the wrong size. So as you're looking, I'm just showing you sort of what your homework's going to look like tonight. So we focused on addition, plus sign in between, subtraction, we'll give minus sign in between. And that scalar multiplication means when you have a number out in front, just fancy words, you call it a scalar. You can multiply by a number. We did everybody by three, I think. We did everybody by three and by two. So when you see a problem like number seven, which I assigned to you, seven's got three parts. It's got A, it's got B, it's got C. So there's the A and the B. Capital A and B. But then underneath it, A says, hey, add them together. B says, reverse the order and add them together and see if that makes a difference. So when we typically add two numbers together, 5 plus 7 is the same as 7 plus 5, right? Because addition is commutative. You'll see if matrix addition is commutative also. And then you'll subtract them. And then you have like another, well, I didn't assign number 8, but I assigned number 9. So I want to take a look. Right now we're going to do number 10 together. It's a bigger matrix. There's a lot of numbers going on here. And let's see if you can do A plus B. I personally want to write it down. I want to write the A and B down so I can add them together. That's up to you. But we're all looking at number 10 for the moment. We're doing 10A. And 10A is saying add A plus B. What are the dimensions of this matrix? 3 by 4. And this is also a 3 by 4, right? So we can add them together. My solution is going to be a fairly big matrix. Do you agree? It's got to be like 3 by 4. So just be logical the way that you do it. So like I'm going to start right here and just work my way across the first row and then work my way across the second row and work my way across the third row. So 1 plus 1 makes 2. So your upper left number should be a 2. The corresponding guy here would be 6 plus 0 is 6. 1 plus 0 is 1. negative 2 plus 9 is 7. There's no ants or row here, so there's no vertical line. This is all just the numbers inside. 0
plus
3
is
3.
1 plus 1 is 2. 3 plus 0 is 3. 5 plus 3 is 8. 0 plus negative 1 is negative 1. 0 plus 4 is 4. 1 plus 1 is 2. Negative 2 plus negative 2 is negative 4. And that would be your answer. Any questions on that? And then you'll find out if you do it in the reverse order, you get the same answer. Because 1 plus 1 is the same as 1 plus 1 is the same answer. But certainly when you subtract them, make sure you subtract in the right order. And when you're doing minus and negative, it becomes plus and positive. So your sign number stuff can kill you once again if you're not doing negative 2. Minus negative 2 becomes negative plus 2, which is going to be a 0. So pay attention. That's where you're going to make a mistake. So stuff like pictures on your phone are stored digitally, right, in digital arrays of numbers like this. And so it kind of gives you a little example in the book about how you make things. You know how now when we edit a photo, you just go edit and you can slide the little bar of lightness, like, and make the picture get lighter or darker or change everything? It's all just adding numbers to the matrix, the computer, like, to make things get darker. And so it kind of shows you that a little bit here about, like, that could be a picture, and you can make it darker or lighter by adding a number to each number in the matrix. Everything stored digitally is stored like this in the matrix, like this, or just a matrix of numbers that make up a picture and colors, and so that's how you make things darker and lighter, by adding one to everybody. Or you can just make one color brighter, right? And if you have an editing tool at home, you can make one color brighter by just adding to that particular string of numbers. So it kind of gives you a little bit of it here. That, I just, there is application. I know you're like, why are we doing this? This seems stupid. Well, there's a lot of stuff stored digitally, and that's how digital stuff gets maneuvered around in a matrix. So, okay, so I threw at the bottom, number 4, one more practice. So you see that direction set. See if you can put it in a matrix and do what you do to solve it. Just so I can see, raise your hands if you're done. Raise your hand if you check your answer so you know you're right. Always rewarding when you know you're right.
We're going to go through this step by step and make sure that you have what you need to get full credit from me when I grade this. So I'll talk about if it's worth like 5 points or whatever, what you need to have down to get each point value. So first off, to get any points at all, you have to use Gaussian elimination, which means the matrix, using a matrix. Even though in reality, I would do this by elimination. So look at it. -2y, +2y would eliminate, but I wasn't told to do it that way. So remember, you have to demonstrate that you can do whatever method you're told. Okay, so step number one, pull it out and put it in the matrix.
So 1, -2, 11, 3, 2, 17.
I am happy because I already have a 1 in the upper left. So first goal is accomplished. Next goal, and next thing to get any points at all, I should see you attempting to get a 0 right here.
You get a 0 right here if it's a positive 3 because I need a negative 3 by multiplying negative 3. So I'm going to come down. I'm going to rewrite row 1 because he's done. It's going to be negative 3 times row 1 plus row 2.
Would be seated right, is sitting right here next to the new row I'm going to create. Okay? This part over here is optional, but I'm going to do it. It's going to help me get the correct row.
So negative 3 times 1 is negative 3. Negative 3 times 2 is 6. And negative 3 times 11 is negative 33. So that's negative 3 times row 1. I'm supposed to add it to row 2, so I'm just going to bring row 2 over like this.
And so that got me to right there. So adding these down, they eliminated. So there's 0.
6 plus 2 is 8. What's negative 33 and 17?
Negative 16.
Negative 16. So here I would have 0, 8, negative 16. Raise your hand if you got that far.
Perfect. Okay. So last step is to get a 1 in this position right here. I'm kind of out of range here, so I'm just going to go up there to do it. Like the next one, I'm going to go up there.
So this is going up here now. So the first one stays, so 1, negative 2, 11. How am I going to get a 1 in this position? Multiply by 1, 8, or divide by 8, throw that 1 in the numerator, whichever way you want to say it. So 1, 8 times row 2. 1, 8 times 0 is still 0. 1, 8 times 8 is 1. And 1, 8 of 16 is negative 2.
Don't stop there, though. You're not done. You're like on the way to being done, but that's pretty good. Now pull it back out of the matrix.
So you have x minus 2y equals 11 and y equals negative 2.
You're still not done. You're almost done. The answer blank's sitting right here.
And so the y coordinate's negative 2. I've got half of it.
But I need to plug in negative 2 right here to figure out what the x coordinate is.
So let's see. X minus 2 times negative 2 equals 11. X plus 4 equals 11. So therefore, what did you get for x?
7.
And if you plug in 7, negative 2 back up in the original, it will check for both. And so that's what it's going to look like. You get full credit. You have the matrix in the matrix. You have these data, what you did next to it. You do the correct things. You pull it out, and you get the coordinates. Okay. On a different piece of paper, I want you to write down that exact same system over again. There it is. We already know the answer. It's 7-2. This time, the directions say solve by elimination. Do you need a matrix in elimination?
No.
What variable are you going to eliminate? What variable would a smart student eliminate? The y's, because they're already opposite. Thank you.
Which way was quicker? Much quicker, right? Elimination would have won the day on this one because it's just, you don't need to do all that matrix stuff on it. It's just easy to eliminate. Any questions on that guy? Okay, draw a line across there. Rewrite the exact same system. This time, the directions say solve using the substitution method. So, substitution was one of the very first ones that we learned. And I remember a substitution, you have to get one variable by itself, like x equals blah or y equals blah. And when you look at this, there's four, none of them are naturally isolated at the beginning. But there's the one that's the easiest one to get by himself because he has a one in front of it, right? Which is that x. So in equation number one, you want to get that x by itself. You would isolate it or get it by itself by adding 2y to both sides. So plus 2y. So you would get x is equal to 11 plus 2y. I know it's unusual, like, because normally we're always like, wait, y equals mx plus b, y equals mx plus b, but that's not what we're doing. We're just trying to get one variable isolated. So that we can substitute it into, everywhere we see an x right here, you're going to plug in that quantity. So 3, open parenthesis, 11 plus 2y equals 17. Get the exact same answer, 7, negative 2, right? Because we're starting with the same system. So the answer is 7, negative 2. And there's three, well, we could graph it too, but we're not going to graph it. There's four ways to get it. Which one do you think is the easiest? You like elimination? Some people like substitution. Some people like elimination better. I like elimination better because it's always, to me, almost always the shortest. If you look at how many little steps it takes, it's usually elimination is the shortest one of all. But some people like the simplicity of substitution method to get it right. But see how I told you which way to do it? And so to get any credit, you would have to show that exact way in order to solve it. And so just making you practice all three on the same system, I think is quite helpful to see that you actually do get 7, negative 2 for all the three different ways that we did it. And if we graphed it, guess where they would cross? 7, negative 2. Because they all yield the same answer, because they're the same system. Okay? Questions on that? Excellent. Dave, how'd that homework go?
I'll only need a couple minutes.
I'm pretty much done.
Okay.
I've got homework to hand out, so I'm going to do that right now. So this is your homework that's due tomorrow. So you can not do what's in the binder. Okay, so I handed everybody out a homework sheet. I hope you appreciate the lovely graphic of the football studio.
So number one says translate into a system and three variables do not solve. So on the answer blank, you'll have the system, okay? I would define the variables somewhere so that when we're grading it, we know what the sections of the stadium are. And then I gave you matrix A and matrix B for number two and asked you to do a couple of different things on it, adding them, a multiplication by that scale in number three, and then a full-blown 3A minus 2B. And the matrices are the same size, so it should work no problem. Any questions on that? The practice problems are at the top, and they came from that page I had up just a minute ago. We're practicing A plus B, B plus A, 2A plus 3B. So that's from Roxwell's section. Any questions? Okay. Dave. How'd that homework go?
Pretty well, actually. So there were a few mistakes. So I'm not going to focus on the particular mistakes. I want to show you one that was done very well. So, and then maybe mention a couple of issues. So there were two or three people that had the wrong answer for problem number one. And what do we know about wrong answers in this kind of problem? You can always discover them by checking your answer. Okay. So if you got a wrong answer, there was probably some little mistake in your row operations, but I counted this problem 20 points and I took off 10 points if you got the wrong answer, but successfully attempted the row operations and so on. So
do you see how nice that is? Look how nice that every step you got next to it, what he did, or just in a row, then he back substituted. Like that, you couldn't ask for anything clearer or nicer than the way that one was done right there.
Yeah, I chose this one.
Something to aspire to right there. I can't write that tiny, so like mine would be a little bigger, but that was really nice. Yeah,
almost everybody got this problem right, except there were a couple of people left off the Y. And I'm not sure, so they said x plus 6 equals 3. So that sort of thing is very noticeable when it happens, and you probably don't want that to happen. But, and then I think there were one or two people that just had kind of weird notation. The curly braces are around the whole thing. That defines the set of solutions. And then your x comma y should be in parentheses, and then the vertical bar, and then the equation that you're using. And here there's only one equation to choose from. So now I want to mention there were several people who didn't get the bonus because they tried to do it the same way, write the answer the same way. You can't do these two equation, two unknown problems in the same way when you have three equations and one of them is redundant, like this. This is all zeros on the bottom here. So you have to do it this way. You have to write it as x equals something, y equals something, z equals something. And, of course, this was done correctly. There were a couple of people, two or three people, that made mistakes in the answer here, and went, I didn't give bonus points, even partial credit on bonus, unless they got the whole thing right here. But many of you did. We had, I didn't count the number, but probably half the class got 105.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so
that's really good. Traditionally, not necessarily you guys, but traditionally, piecewise functions and this are two very challenging skills for even a 14 college algebra class to get right. So that you all whipped through that piecewise function on that last quiz last Friday and got the three pieces with the open holes and everything looked really good. And that half of you got these, they're called parametric equations.
Yeah.
Correct is really, really good.
Well, there were a few people that didn't get 105 but got the bonus points, and so it kind of boosted your grade a little bit. And then finally, I just want to say a word about the practice problems. I think some people are getting a little lax in terms of showing work and you know, putting the effort into the problems. I look to see, did you attempt the problem? If you just wrote the problem down and didn't do any work on it, I would take points off for that. So there were several people that didn't attempt several problems, and so you get points off for that.
I can't remember there are, so I'll go like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 50 divided by 10 is 5.
That's exactly
so
what I do.
There are 5 points apiece, basically. Sometimes it's 8, sometimes it's 12.
Yeah.
And so I go and look, did they do this one? If you just stopped right here, it's automatically like minus 15, because you didn't do the last 3 or whatever. So I like, there's some people here that are very systematic. They cross it out as they're doing it. And so I can look and see, and then they don't cross laugh it out because they didn't do it or whatever. They put a question. We don't care that you don't get it right. Like, if you have a question mark by it because you came to ask me earlier, that's totally fine that you've attempted it. It's just when you're just copying, when you don't do it at all, when you just copy the answers from the back of the book, that's how you lose credit for us.
Right? Yeah, someone said to me once they didn't get the right answer, so they didn't include it in the hand-in.
Oh.
And it's like, no, no. Even if it's wrong, we want to see it. It's practice. It's a practice problem. But if and there were several people who just didn't do the last 3 problems, like you say. So those might have been a little harder. They may seem harder, but just make the effort. And
well, why the last 3? I didn't even
well, what the last one was actually no solution problem. So I don't think they were that hard.
0, 0, 5 or something. You read that fact. Yeah, we all appreciate the fact that you work and that your kids are paying sometimes, and like, yeah, we all know that.
So anyway, you guys did really well. Keep up the good work.
Okay, so tomorrow, group quiz. That group quiz is 1 hour 20 minutes long because it's a Wednesday, so it's a little bit longer than you had on Friday. It's going to be cumulative, meaning it starts with stuff all the way through. A little heavier on yesterday and today than last week's stuff, but that will all be represented on there. And then on Thursday, you'll have part A of the test, so 1 hour 20 for part A, which covers last week's stuff. And then on Friday, you'll have the major stuff. So everything you learned yesterday and everything you learned today, which would be actually solving a few matrices and translating some stuff, and then the arithmetic stuff we did today. So that's what Friday's going to look like. And then we leave matrices forever, and then you'll look at it. So it's pretty funny. They took out a lot out of this course in the last year. So they took out like major multiplication, they took out solving those XYZ matrices. So that's why we're sitting here staring out 20 minutes of time that we normally wouldn't have, because they split the course a little bit and we're losing time.
We could have them do more practice.
We could, but I feel like they'll go home and study. It's a 20-minute gift. Okay. That one was nice.
Yeah, there were several that were done very neatly.
I totally could have taught these guys how to do a lot. Everyone. Half of them were done.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well,
yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.